God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. My name is Louisa, and I'm a compulsive eater. And I attend meetings in Dallas, and wherever I am, there's a C-HOW meeting. If it's in wherever state or whatever country, I will attend a meeting. I have been in program. I started January the 5th, 1997, in C-HOW, and I was in HOW before that, because that's what we had in Dallas. We didn't have C-HOW then. And I had a sponsor that was in C-HOW in Dallas. He had moved from California, from Los Angeles, to Dallas because her job had transferred her. So I had gotten her, when I came in to see, into HOW, I was in the room, and that's all we had, so she was attending those meetings. And I was praying to God. I said, God, now, this is my prayer and meditation. That's what we are on, step 11. I went to that meeting, I said, saying, God, I want a sponsor. I ask you to direct me to a sponsor. Always, when I got ready for a sponsor, I always ask you to direct me. And this lady, the room was full, was in there, and so when they asked the people that were available for sponsors, she raised her hand, and it was about one or two more, so I looked at her and I looked at the rest of them. I said, I'll ask these other two to be my sponsor. So I asked both of them, neither one of them were available to, you know, they couldn't take on, they could help someone get started, but they couldn't take on anyone. So I looked at her and I walked around the room and I said, okay, God, I don't think I want her for my sponsor, I'll just wait. And so I kept walking by her and she was speaking on it, you know, and I kept walking. And finally, look at my higher power, says, it's time to get a sponsor. I said, yeah, God, but I don't want her. And I kept looking at her. So I walked up to her and I was saying, maybe she's going to say no anyway. So I walked over and I said, I'm looking for a sponsor. Would you be my sponsor? And she said, gladly. I said, oh, God. And so I said, okay. I said, do I call you when do I call? I said, I'll tell you what I got. And I said, and now this is the reason, you know, you have to realize I'm in the control. You know, this is, it says salt through prayer and meditation. It didn't say salt through Loretha. It says through prayer. So I looked at her and I says, I got a doctor's appointment tomorrow morning. I said, so why don't I call you? And after this, she says, I want you to call me tonight and write your food down and report it to me tonight. I said, but I got to go to the doctor tomorrow. She says, I want your food called in tomorrow morning, so you write your food down tonight. So I looked at her, and she's Jewish. And I looked at her, I says, to myself, I didn't say it to her, I walked out of the room. I looked at my car, I says, I ain't calling her. I'm not writing no food down. I'm not calling her. She's a Hitler. I'm not calling her. And I told her later on that I had said that about it. But anyway, I went home and I walked around the room, you know, and when, you know, anything concerning food, I can be really, really upset. And I was walking around in the house and I said, I ain't calling this one. This is going to be hard to work this program. Okay, it's too loud. Okay. And so when I called, called her the next morning. After I'd done all my little tantrums and stuff like that night before, you know, picking the paper up and writing it down, throwing it on the floor and all that kind of crazy stuff. But then I called her the next morning. I reported my food and I said, now you know that I'm not going to be able to do this today. I said, I don't know what the doctor's going to tell me. She said, whatever he tells you, he's not going to tell you not to eat your food. I said, okay. So I went on, and I went to the doctor, and I called my food. So I worked with her, you know, for all of that, you know, from January the 5th, 1997, to I almost had my 30 days, and I went somewhere with some other fellow people that were in a program. They were in another program, but I knew them. So we went to this place, and when I... was on my way back, I stopped off at Whole Foods. Well, they have these things on that you walk by, and this was, you know, just all out there, so I says, okay. And I was walking on down to get what I was going to get. And I before I knew it, you know, it was just, you know, just that quick, I had picked up one of those and was in my mouth. And immediately, when I swallowed it down, I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God, I got to call that woman and tell her that I ate that. I said, oh, Lord. I said, maybe I can just, I said, I'd eat but one. And I said, okay. And so I went on home, and I got home, and I said, I got to call her. I said, I got to call her. So I called her, and I said, listen, her name, I said, I just ate one of those. I said, what do I have to do? She said, you got to start over. I said, I got to do what? She said, you got to start over. I said, but I just ate one. She said, you got to start over. And God, I was like, oh, my God, I got to. So January the 26th, 1997, I started over my food plan. And I went along with my absence down through years, you know, did a lot of service work and all that kind of stuff. But, wow. So, after I got, you know, June 6, 2006, I called her. I says, you know, I says, I need to start my program over. She says, why? She says, your absence is good. I says, I'm losing my emotional and spiritual. I said, and if I don't start over, I'm going to lose the whole thing. She said, but you don't have to do that. I said, I have to. I said, I've got to do the 30-day course over. I said, I've got to do the whole thing over. She said, okay. So we did it. And I started over. Did the 30-day course, and had to sit in the room, be silent. Can you imagine that? Being silent for 30 days and not saying anything. But I did it. And let me tell you, my program, my whole program just took off. I mean, it just took off. It looked like it just got solid and got much more better and everything. That's why I have a new recommitment day. I didn't lose the food, but I was losing everything else. My emotion and my spiritual was just going out. And what had happened, and I could tell, my sister, I had my older sister who was in CHI, worked a really good program. I mean, she was solid in her program. She had gotten sick, and she was kind of dwindling. And I could tell I was getting emotional, you know, just, you know, all into that, this, you know, because it's the fear. And in 2007, she did leave the body. And that was very traumatic. So I was glad I had started over and got my programs, really, you know, more stable than it was. I could not have gone through that without this program. Believe me, I could not have gone through it without. Everybody in the program, just all around me, they did everything. They were just there for the service. They were there for everything. If I needed anything, they were there. It was a miracle. 9 months later, my youngest sister went into a coma and just gone. 10 days. You know, we had to take off life support. You know, they told us we had to do that. So that was what. I was glad I had restarted my program for that, too. So prayer and meditation became very much one of my tools. I had to have it. I'm a meditator anyway. I meditate and I pray daily. Every morning I get up and I meditate. Almost every evening. Well, last night was very short meditation because we were up late. But I still meditate before I went to sleep last night. It is a real, real need for me. I've always meditated. Always. Even before a program. Let me tell you how it was. No, I would read the Bible and I would write every morning, even before program. But I'm gonna talk about another kind of meditation that I did all the time. All people don't realize that they meditate somehow or another. I meditate even for me. I can meditate over anything. And when it comes to food, I know how to meditate. I can close my eyes and tell you exactly what it looks like, where it is, and where to go get it. I can tell you just about how much it's going to cost when you get there to get it. I can tell you if it's 90 miles away or if it's 9 seconds away. So that's meditation. I have a thing with food. And I'm going to tell you a little story here. About 3 months ago, I was in the grocery store. I was shopping for vegetables. And I was walking down the aisles, and I was looking, and I stopped at this particular vegetable. And this large vegetable that's red, red vegetable, it's round. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to have to call the name. And what you do is, you know, you slice it and you put it on your salad. This was the largest one I had ever seen. So I walked back, and I looked at it, and I kept walking all through the store. I went back over there, and I got that large and took it home. And after I got it home, I called my sponsor, and I was telling her. She said, what are you going to do with it? It's going to take you forever to weigh that up and measure it. It'll be solid for a lot of days. I said, why did I have to buy it? I said, I could have left it there. She said, what are we? We're compulsive eaters. And being, you know, a lot of everything is what I do. Another day I was in the same grocery store, and there was a large fruit, huge, larger than I'd ever seen one of those before. And I walked by it, and I went back and I got it. And I get to the checker to check it out, and two or three women were standing there, and they looked at the fruit, and they says, that's the largest. And I got pissed off. I was so mad. Why would they be looking at my basket? No, that's in my basket. Leave it alone. Just go. But they kept standing and looking at it until I checked out. So, you know, they were still looking at the fruit and making comments. You know, so I'm like, oh, my God. That is how obsessed we are with food. I am very obsessed with food. That's why I said I can meditate over anything. I can meditate over anger, fear, food. I can meditate over what I'm going to say to someone or what I should have said to someone. I can meditate over what I could do or what I cannot do. And I can always know, meditation is not about any certain thing. In the 12 and 12, it says, there is a many ways of meditating is there are people in the world, and that's really the truth. It's a lot of ways to meditate. So for a few seconds right now, I'm going to ask you to stop and sit still for a few minutes. If you will, close your eyes. You don't have to. This is no must do anything. You can close your eyes. And as you're sitting there, think about one of the things that's most important to you at this moment, in this time, right here today. There's one thing that's important to you today. Just close your eyes and think about it. Just at this moment. A couple of people just walked in. That's why I repeat it. Now, open your eyes and look around. If you're sitting next to someone, look at them and think about what you just thought in your mind. Now Now, is there anyone that would like to come to the mic? If you do, you have to sign here before you speak. You know that. Come to the mic and bring the person with you, and the two of you say exactly what you felt and you thought to each other. Okay? We got two people that's coming. You got to sign the release form. Here's a pen right here. It's amazing what goes through one's mind. Your mind is never quiet. I read something that says, it was telling how many thoughts go through a person's mind in one day. And it was like millions of thoughts going to one person in one day. And I never think about how important it is to think about what I'm thinking.
I'm Linda F. I'm from Las Vegas.
Hi, Linda.
And two things I was thinking about. First of all, I talked with my daughter yesterday, and we haven't really talked in about 3 months. And that was just wonderful, because you were saying what is the most important thing. And then I just got a new daughter, but she's a dog. And I'm missing her terribly. I've just had her about a week, and I got her from the pound, and she was spayed, and she just got cleaned up, and she just is like, I said, did I get the same dog back? She was just looked like a little greyhound running up and down and so happy and excited that she was released and made a new dog. So I'm very grateful today.
Okay, stay standing there. Well, I'm glad you're thinking of your dog when you thought of me, when you looked at me. I'm Barbara from Marina Del Rey.
Hi, Barbara.
I was thinking of kindness, because yesterday I was very impatient, intolerant, and resentful. So I was thinking, I was writing about it this morning, I was thinking, during meditation this morning, it came to me that with God's will, I'll just be kind, and all of that will fade away. So that's what I was thinking.
Okay, now the two of you, since you both are together, what did you think about when I asked you to look at someone and think about what you were thinking?
I thought that she looked very kind.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
I just saw the light in her eyes, and it was easy to be kind towards her.
Oh, wow. How wonderful.
My daughter lives in Marina Del Rey.
Oh, gosh. Wow. That's wonderful. That's great. Next.
Hello, I'm Tamia Kapotovita from
San Fernando
Valley, California. And I thought about my 20-year-old son, who is now back home after completing school, and is like, what next, Lord, for him? Because if he has idle time, he just gets into trouble, really, bottom line. So it's like, he's the most important right now. What's for his life now? So what I thought about, and when I looked at her, I thought about that. She looked like a mother who would understand. And I remember her dancing, and it's like she's having fun in her life, and that's what I choose to do, not worry about my family, not be codependent with anyone.
Okay. Is she loud enough? Oh, can you hear her? Okay. Okay.
Oh. Hi, I'm Cheryl, recovering compulsive eater.
Hi, Cheryl.
Okay, so the first thought was I meditated on abstinence. Then I took it a step deeper and I meditated on glorifying my higher power. So when I looked at Tammy, I mean, her eyes are like so bright, and she's always seemed so confident to me, and I hear her on the phone bridge all the time. I just saw her as an example of someone that's glorifying her higher power probably without even knowing it. And I see her in a lot of meetings, and I thought, she don't even know I exist. But that's what I see in her. I just see confidence, and I see beauty, and I see her glorifying her higher power.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay, now the two of you, stand back together. If you had to spend life somewhere together, what would you be doing?
Dancing.
Okay. What would you be doing?
I'd be letting my light shine wherever I am.
Oh, great. Okay, wonderful. Thanks. Next.
Hi, I'm Lindy.
Hi, Lindy.
Recovering compulsive overeater. And I love meditating. It's just the best. And I've been meditating since I was about 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm almost 54.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last few years, maybe 6 years, I've been doing a different kind of meditation where I'm not thinking anymore. And I'm doing more of the heart work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought to myself as I was sitting here meditating, what do I want to meditate about? Well, just being present here and having a really good time. Because the tendency is, am I going to miss something good here, or should I be over here? What should I do? Well, it's all recorded. What's the worry, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just enjoy and be here in this moment, in this present moment now. And so when I looked over at her, she reminds me of my mom.
Okay.
And I just lost her almost a year ago this month.
Oh,
coming
wow.
month. So I looked right into her eyes. I was like, how perfect is that?
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
My name is Judy.
And hi,
I'm
Judy.
I'm a compulsive eater. And the thought that came to me was, more than anything, I want to be in harmony with my higher power. And when I turned and looked at her, it was just, I don't know, it was just eyes. And and it felt just warm and welcoming and in harmony.
Okay, the two of you, what's the greatest gift that you can think of that God has given you by being together, the two of you, this morning, just this moment?
Life is good. I just think of love is everything.
Great. Right. Thanks. Anybody else?
Just coming say for one more.
Sure. Go ahead. Come on.
Looking around today and all the people that I know that I've known for so long here and all the new people, I just get this overwhelming feeling of gratitude because how many people have had this program or something similar shared with them and they reject it? And we're here.
Mm-hmm.
How blessed we are.
Yes.
That part of us that said yes. How blessed we are.
Mm-hmm. That part, and that's the truth. The part of us that says yes. The part that says yes. Because there is a part that says no. And that's the struggle. Because a lot of times coming into a program, it takes a whole lot to walk through the door and say, yes, I will do this program. Okay, two more, come on.
What is it?
You have to have a partner.
I have to have a partner?
Yeah, and you have to sign before you talk.
You have to sign. Where do you sign?
It's back here with her.
You have to have a partner.
Uh-huh.
All right. Hi, my name is Anissa, Grateful Recovery Couple.
Hi, Anissa.
Gosh, the quality, of course, I mean, I have to have more. But the first quality was peace. Because what I realized through my writing and just through some recent life experiences that fear has driven every decision I've made in my life. Fear of loss, fear of not enough, fear. And I didn't even realize it. So peace came up really strong. And peace and prosperity, because I lost my job in April. So those two qualities. Peace, but peace came first. And so that's what came up.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Great. And
my name is Carol Suzanne.
Hi, Judge Glenn.
And I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. And when you asked us to do this, I got very honest with myself, which was I've had a longing for a companion because I have been a single parent for many, many years, and I have been, everything since program has been transitioning, and I'm in new places and new things. And so it is seeking the love and companionship within life and being worthy of it. And when I turned to Nisha, we've known each other for years in our program, and I saw that love. And I saw the friendship and kinship that we've had over the years.
Wow.
And it felt wonderful.
And when I looked into Carol's eyes with the peace, it brought me back to when I first came in the program in 1994. I never felt like I had any life tools in my life. And when we used to go to like workshops and stuff, yeah, we really tried the road. And literally. And it just, when I looked at her, it reminded me of those days back in the day where we had hope. And we just, when we would see each other, we're like, okay, let's go here. Let's go to this workshop. And I, it was a piece of my heart, like, okay, I may not be where I want to be, but this is home. Finally, I have a place where people understand me, and I never had that in my life.
Wow.
And when I looked in Carol, because not a lot of people nowadays I see from those days, back in the day.
Wow.
And, you know, it just reminded me of the peace that I felt in finding home.
Wow. The two of you standing together, if you could say something to God, what would you say? You can say something to God. What do you say?
Just help me remember that I'm home and that I have everything that I need right here in program. Because I forget.
Right.
And I make it real complicated. Just help me remember.
Okay.
Because it's here.
Okay.
If I were to say something to God right now, and I would say it to Abba, who is my higher power, I would simply say, oh, brave new world to be wondered at. Thank you.
Wow. Thanks. It's wonderful. Next two.
Hi, I'm Barbara. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Barbara.
San Diego. What I was meditating on is freedom from bondage itself. I, too, have a son who is unemployed and has a new young baby, and I've been helping, and we kind of had an altercation yesterday, and I really let it affect my serenity, and I had to work very hard to get it back, and it was good for the reminder to go back to meditation and to surrender one more time. And
Hi, my name is Jim. I'm a compulsive
eater. Hi, Jim.
And I am from up north, Oceano, California, which is just south of San Luis Obispo. And I just met Barbara today, and it was kind of a love-hate meeting. You know, I love Barbara because she's a fellow Seahaw. But my first words to her, I don't want a sinister partner. And I wasn't, that sinister has negative connotations. I didn't mean it negatively, but you know, that's just me. And I am trying to get rid of my negativity. What I meant was, we're both left-handed. Okay? Because she signed left-handed, so did I. But anyway, what I was thinking, you know, I didn't really share it with Barbara, but I have trouble witnessing to some witnessing. Talking or encouraging or trying to talk to some Christians because they don't like the 12-step program. And so I have trouble with that. And so I need some help trying to figure out how to do that. Because what they tell me is that it's See, Christians believe in God, and they think that Seehowers or 12-steppers don't believe in God, or a different God. And so I have trouble talking to them about Seehow, and they have a negative, not Seehow, nobody has a negative opinion of Seehow, it's the 12-step program. Because actually, nobody knows about Seehow, from my experience. It's very difficult to find. I was just lucky my sister was in Seehow. That's the only, and I thank God that I...
So in prayer, in your prayer and meditation, this is what this workshop is about. In your prayer and meditation, you came in a little late before when we got started. We were to look at someone and have a thought about what you were thinking at that moment.
Yes, and that was what I was thinking.
In relationship to prayer and meditation.
Yes, prayer and meditation. Well, I pray that I can figure out how to witness to Christians that have a negative opinion of the 12-step program.
Okay. Now, the two of you are standing there together, and as you stand, which way would you think that your higher power would want you to stand, on your left foot or your right?
You know, you really put me on the spot. I never thought about it.
Okay.
Loretta.
Which one would you think your higher power would want you to stand, on your left foot or your right?
Yes.
You're saying yes to who?
Yes, to left foot or your right.
Left foot or right?
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Which one would you think your higher power wants you to stand up?
Well, I was standing on my left foot, and I want to be sinister.
Okay.
But what I was really feeling was, I think my higher power wants me to stand flat, both feet challenged. That's my goal. Both feet.
That is the truth.
I agree with Barbara.
Okay.
That's right.
Can I share one more thing?
Sure.
About who I connected with? I connected with a newcomer I met. And when I say newcomer, took a risk of coming to this convention without ever having to do anything. And I connected with her because I want the mind of a newcomer. That's why I walked into this room. Like you were sharing, I need to always regenerate my spiritual connection.
Mm-hmm.
So I really thank the newcomers for being here.
Okay.
And also, I have 383 days of abstinence, and
that's great.
68 pounds of weight loss.
That's great. Okay, thanks. Okay, so going through that kind of experience, meditating and then thinking about and then sharing, that brings on a whole nother way of thinking sometimes. You're thinking about, well, can I take this out into the world? Can I take it anywhere else? If I'm a newcomer in the program, and I want you to understand, I'm a newcomer every day. When someone asks me, how much time do you have in the program? How many years do you have in the program? I say, I got one day. I do not go any further. If I start counting years, get back into that, then I'll go back over into the future. I'm going to get in trouble. So I worked hard to stay in today. The newcomer is walking into the room for the first time. I walk into that meeting, that particular meeting, for the first time, because every time I go to a meeting, it's a new meeting. Because I have never gone to that meeting with that format of that topic, of that discussion, because no one's going to share the next time I go to a meeting exactly the way they shared the time that I was at the meeting before. So I always am a newcomer. I always have to remember that. And I also have to remember that there is no future. Today is going to be tomorrow, and tomorrow is going to be today. It's all today. It's never going to be, I'll start the program tomorrow. Well, I got up a lot of days on Monday mornings and said, on Friday. I start on Monday. Monday comes. Well, you know, I've eaten already 1,000 things this morning before breakfast. So if I eat breakfast, I just might as well go on and just eat the rest of the stuff today. I'll start next Monday. You know, it's always going to. So I have to stay in today. Each meal is today's food for that meal. And I am one of these people, and I'm like, little kids, if you come into me, and we're at a family gathering or something, they come to me and say, give me some off my plate. You don't get anything off my plate. I say, go ask your mother or your daddy to fix you a plate. And they'll look at me like, I say, go ask your mother and daddy. I don't give nobody food off my plate. When it's on my plate, it's mine. Nobody gets any. I mean, that's just the way it is. And I eat my food on my plate. I don't want nobody else's stuff. Because if I give them something off my plate, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my God, I can't go and get any more and put it on there because I weigh and measure my food. I didn't weigh it last night, didn't bring no scales with me to weigh it. But all the time, usually, I weigh and measure my food. Or even if I'm going to a family stuff, I carry it with me already weighed and measured. So if I give someone some, that means I don't know how much I can put back on my plate. If I'm weighing it on the scales and it says 15 and 7 eighths, I'm going to work to get it even. And if it goes over, I take it back off. I'm working at 15 and 7 eighths a lot of times. And I know one morning I said, okay, God, you know I'm not going to eat 15 and 7 eighths. I got to have 16. I can go over, but I'm not going to eat under. So you might as well help me to weigh this even. And it's got on the scale. It was right. So that's the way I am. That's for me the way prayer and meditation. Meditation is a food for me. It's just like my food. I have to do it. Prayer is like my food. I have to pray. I had to learn how to pray in the program. I had to learn how to meditate in the program. This is where I learned everything. This is where I found out how to learn to go meditate. I went and learned how to meditate. I was taught how to meditate properly. And that's why how meditation is so important to me. It says, salt through prayer. It didn't say thinking, it says salt through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Not as they understand Him. It's not as how the people out there or anywhere else understand. As we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will. It says nothing in there, nowhere in the book, in that thing, just chapter to say anything about Loretta's will. It says His will. And the power to carry that out. I have to have God's power to even sit and meditate. I have to have God's power to pray because without God, I don't have anything anyway. And I have to have abstinence in order to have God. If I'm not abstinent, I guarantee you, I am not thinking about God. I am thinking about the next food I'm going to get. I'm thinking about what restaurant or what grocery store or what place I can go and buy that food. That's what I'm thinking about. That's what prayer and meditation does for me. It keeps me in balance. Balance in myself and in my program. Balance with me walking through each day's life experience. And let me tell you, it is an experience for me being at this conference this year. As many times as I've come to World Service, and Lisa, she's my, she knows, she's picked me up at her hotel, airport, and everything. She's been there. Cause I was on the board of directors, and when I was flying, we fly in like four times a year, the conference. And I get to the day or two before the plane, and I'll be flying, and I was calling. I said, Lisa, I need a ride. She said, where are you going to be? And she said she would never say no. Never. As much as I worry with her, I'm like, so like she would go. But I've been here a lot of times, all the time. It's always been, everything has always been hard. And in my work, I do a lot of, you know, I have to travel, I have to, you know, do a lot of things in my profession. And this time, it's been a very different experience. I've never experienced it like this before, ever. And I was like, God, why is it like this time? It's so weird. I didn't get my air reservation till about 10 days before time to come, and I never do that. I always am like 2 months maybe before to get my ticket already. And my sponsor was going to come, and she got ill, and the doctor told her he didn't want her to travel. And so she canceled the room reservation because me and her were going to be in the room together, and she had made the room reservation. And she canceled it without thinking because she got, you know, she just got, you know, upset and then just scared, I guess. And so we didn't have a room. I said, I didn't have a room. Another lady was coming to me from Dallas, so we didn't have a room. So I said, oh, my God. I don't know. So I called the hotel. He says that all the rooms for that particular conference is all gone. They all are taken. You have to pay the regular rate. Well, the regular rate was $260-something. I was like, okay. I said, I told her, I didn't tell her no, I wouldn't. I said, well, let me check and see. So I called my sponsor again, and I told her, she said, maybe she tried to get the room back, but she couldn't. And then Irish, who's from Texas, I called her, and she told me a person's name that was looking for a roommate for one night. Well, me and this lady stayed in the room with her last night. Today she's leaving, and the lady's in the room, and she found the room to stay in with someone else that's from Oklahoma, but they didn't want the three people in their room. So guess who was not in the room? It's me. And I was like, oh, my God. I said, I would never do this again. I said, it's one thing I always do. I always have my room and my food in order before I leave. I don't care about the rest of the stuff. The airfare I wouldn't be on. I would always have those in order. I said, I've never been this way. She said, what is God saying? I said, I don't know. I said, but what are you saying? He didn't say what Larissa was saying this morning. He's saying something else. So we were coming out of the elevator, coming down here, you know, because I knew I was going to get breakfast and then get back up. And we were getting off the elevator, and this lady was walking in, and she spoke. And we just talked for a few seconds, and they had been looking for someone to share their room. So I'm going to be staying with them tonight. Now, my plane doesn't leave till Monday. So I'm like, okay, I got to find somebody that's going to be here through Monday. If they don't, then I'm going to have to stay with family. And I really don't want to be with them. And it's just like coming out of a real high spiritual. I would have to meditate and pray hard. Really hard. So I was thinking about that, you know, about all of that, and I said, well, whatever happens, it happens. And I just I said, I think my high five said, for the first time, go with the flow. Go with the flow. And I said, I don't like that. You know, I like knowing. It's the same way I don't buy foods. I want to know what I'm going to eat before I get there. I call a lot of times, I say, okay, what are y'all serving? And if they're not serving what I think they ought to be serving, you know, that I can eat, I will carry my food. I don't have a problem carrying my food. I carry my food to work every day with people looking over me. Oh, that sure looks good. And I'm like, go away. You know, just leave me alone. But they will do that every time. And I have this one coworker. She just walks up and she just stands up and she said, oh, that is so pretty. Oh, that's the most gorgeous food. How you get it to look like that? And I'm thinking to myself, it's just salad. Anyway, you're just cutting up food and putting it together. It's salad. That's what I take with me every day. It's salad. And she's always making comments. And so I am very aware that I like to have things in order. I have to know what I'm going to do. But it's a one day at a time. And was one of my sponsors told me one time, I was like, oh, no, I don't know, I can't get this, I don't have quite enough of here, and I was out, you know. And she says, Louise, there is another meal. I says, yeah, but she says, there is another meal, and you won't starve before the next one. And I said, okay, man. I said, that is how I am about my program. Questions about working the 11th step. Got pencil and paper? If you don't have a pen, I have one up here somebody can use. I have two, rather. First question. Write the things you do to meditate. Write the things that you do to meditate. Write the things that you do to pray. Most people don't realize there's more than one way to pray. You can pray. You don't have to have a long prayer. Sometimes my prayer is just help. Sometimes it's just God. I do that a lot of times. Things are going, it's really tough. And I say, God. You know, just like when both my sisters passed, and I was like, God, you know, this is tough, this is hard. And, you know, and I remember one day, I was just sitting, I looked up, and I said, God, I said, this hurts. This hurts a lot. And I sit there for a few more minutes, and I said, you're going to have to hold me. And at the assembly, Dallas Assembly, Era 2 Assembly in February, I was speaking, and one of my closest friends and her husband were close friends of mine, and she's in the program, and he had passed away a couple of days before I was to speak at the assembly on that Saturday. In fact, no, he passed a day, he passed it Friday, and I was speaking that Saturday. And we were real close, and I was in pain about that. And I came here, and my week has been is so up, you know, in the upheaval. And my family looks like we've been going through a lot. And one of my first cousins passed away just like that. He got cancer and just went real fast. And he's living in Atlanta, Georgia. And, of course, he's, you know, they brought him back. He's in Texas. And I'm going to miss the funeral because I'm here. I can't be there. And we are a real close family. And, it's, you know, it's, you would think that when you hear me say I don't want to be with be much, it's not that I don't love my family. I love them. And we are a real close-knit family, really close. And it's a lot of us. And I'm going to miss being there. And so I brought up feelings about my sister and both of them passing like that, you know, so close together. And here I am. Again, sharing at the conference, going through grief, like, and feeling grief. And it's not easy to stand up here, y'all. It's not an easy thing at all. It's been one of the most difficult weeks in my life. So, I would be doing a lot of prayer and meditation. And I say all the things about the room and stuff because I was trying to find some laughter and some joy and wonder what my higher power was saying to me in all this, because really and truly, I'm not worried about some words to say. I really don't. You know, I would say so much with Dolores, and Elisa's here, and my aunt is here, and you know, and I have cousins here in LA. That's not the problem. I had to come down to it. I'm grieving. It's painful. But I know that with God, I can pray and continue to pray. I got a whole fellowship of people. All of you are here. And I can share, and you can love me, and I can love you. And I can have that joy and peace within from knowing that I have a higher power, and that you're here, and my higher power works through you. And sometimes it's a rough, it feels rough, but I would not trade being in this program for any day that I had before the program. Any, the roughest day in this program is better than any day I had out there before the program. And I just know that through prayer and meditation, and sometimes I ask the person, do you meditate? And you don't have to have an answer to this. That's not for an answer. It's wondering if we all realize the importance of meditation and prayer, and that we do it all the time, one way or the other. And also, knowing that meditation can be thinking, it can be smiling, it can be just gazing out into the sky and looking at the wonders of nature and what God has made for us to enjoy. Because I do that a lot of times, walk on the walking trail, and there are some beautiful walking trails where I live, and I walk on those trails, just gazing, sitting quietly, and just looking, and don't have to say anything. God is always there. That's the whole thing. People say, "I'm looking for God." I'm like, God is not. Why are you looking for God? God ain't lost. He ain't never been lost. No, he's always here. He's always here. It's me that has to be able to reach out to God. And running is a meditation too. You don't have to run a long way. Just running, just being very quiet and peaceful in your run, thinking about God. Prayer is like you said. It can be just God help. You can walk up to somebody and, you say, I love you. You're in the program. This prayer is a lot of different things that people don't realize. And there are really lots of wonderful prayers that are good for us all to remember to learn to do. Also, when I think of my name, my last name starts with B, and I said, I know God did that for, he has a good sense of humor. He put my first name, last name to start with a B, because it means to me beginning every day. I begin every day. I wake up, it's a new beginning, a very new beginning. And sometimes I think about, I heard this lady back here, she was talking about, she wanted companionship, and she wanted a companion. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, all human beings want companionship. That's the most important thing. That's why God put two people on earth, and he made one, he made that second one, because they all, it's a companionship. And I know that, right now I'm not in a relationship, but there's one that, And this man, he and I told this at the assembly. We went to school together. We finished undergraduate school together. He went to law school, and I went on off to get my master's. And he found out, he heard that he knew somebody that I knew that we all went to school together. And he told him, Teresa, tell her to call me. Give her both my numbers. Well, now, that was 2.5 years ago. And I went on, just walking along, because I'm very busy. I have a practice, and I work a lot, and then I'm involved in a whole lot. So I went along, and I finally did call him. He says, yeah. He says, so what do you have this morning to call me? He had any pissing to call me? Oh, God, I got pissed off. I was so mad at him, But I went on and talked to him. I was really nice, But I was thinking to myself, I'm not going to talk to you no more. But that is not, that's not true. I will, no, I'm gonna talk to him. But still, I was like, that's the way I see things a lot of times. I can wait a long time, but God's gotta be immediate. So when I'm praying sometimes, I'm saying, okay, God, this, and I'm thinking, and I want it right now. And that's not the way it always happens. So prayer is a very important thing. I have an 11-step prayer. And I also have some readings for you that are for the step 11. In AA's 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 96 to 105. And in the big book, 85 to 88. Those are recommended readings. And 11-step prayer, I'll say to you at the end when I finish. Is it almost about time? How many? Okay, 25. Okay. In step 11, prayer and meditation are our spiritual means of conscious contact with God. Our spiritual means of conscious contact with God. It didn't say anything about food. It says spiritual. For me, I have to always remember that there's no word in here about food. It's a spiritual contact with God, as I understand God. To certain newcomers and to those one-time agnostics who still cling to the AA group as their higher power, claims for the power of prayer may, despite all the base, all the logic and experience and proof of it, still be unconvincing. That's in the 12 and 12. That's on the first page. And it's 12 steps, 12 traditions. And then on page 96. On page 97 it says, those of us who have come to make regular use of prayer would no more do without it than we would refused air, food, or sunshine. So that tells you how important prayer and meditation is to work this program. I have to pray. I have to meditate. And that's for me. Your prayer and meditation, what you do, is what is important for you. Now I'm going to ask if there's anybody that wants to come up to the mic and share what they have really thought about in this workshop and what prayer and meditation has meant coming out of this workshop today. Oh, I did? Okay, which prayer, which one should I give you? Oh, okay, I got it right here. What is the shortest prayer you have ever said? That's what I was going to ask. What is the longest prayer you have ever said? Thanks for reminding me, because I got it all written here. I just need to get it down. Okay, anybody want to come to the mic? Because I'll keep talking. Okay. I think she was first. Did you sign? Okay.
My name's Carol. I'm a compulsive eater.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wrote on the two questions you said a while ago, meditation, to me, when I meditate, I close my eyes. And through this program, I've learned to dismiss the chit-chat that comes when I close my eyes, the chit-chat that comes whenever I go to bed at night that keeps me awake. And whenever I was sitting back there earlier and I closed my eyes, I saw a kind of golden water just barely flowing, and every once in a while there was a rock that about the color of the roof of that picture up there, kind of a golden orange, and I just felt peace and at one. And that's the most wonderful meditation for me, because I used to just have that chit-chat up here, who did what, playing those old tapes over and over. And then whenever I wrote on prayer, the way I talk to God is I just, in my head, driving down the road, talking to somebody, being in a situation where there's controversy or something, I say, God, please. And then I also, whenever I have a problem and I can't get a solution, I write a God letter. And almost always by the end of the letter, I have a solution. He does for me what I cannot do for myself.
Thanks. And could you give your name? Okay. All right. I know. We've been knowing for each other for years, so we're not strangers. Anybody else? If there's one other person, come on. Yes.
I'm Linda. I'm a compulsive eater.
Linda.
And I just want to say something that's really important to me is that this is a spiritual program, not a religious program.
Right.
Because if someone had said this is a Christian program, I would have thought that doesn't mean me. You know? And so I think that's really important for me to remember it's a spiritual program, and that no matter what religion we are, that this is a spiritual program, it is that we ask for help and ask for what God's will or Allah or whatever higher power's will is for us today. And one thing about meditation, I'm not very good at it. What I find helps me is on the internet you can find guided meditations where they'll actually just have to sit there and relax and listen to the meditation, and sometimes that's easier for me. And also I found that if I drop my jaw, just relax my jaw, that it and cross my arms and legs, that it just helps that whole process. And I'm just so grateful because I have learned so much about my higher power. And especially one thing I want to say is that they'd say, write about what your higher power looks like, or, you know, all this stuff. And I just had a horrible time with that. And I just, you know, it was like, is it a woman? Is it a man? And I finally said, you know what? I don't need to know that. All I need to know is there is. And that helped me so much. So thanks, let me share.
Thanks.
Hello, my name. Can you hear me? Hello, my name is Jim. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Jim.
From Oceano, California, up near San Luis Obispo. And I was thinking, as we were talking about meditation. You see, I'm a Christian, I believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. And it says in there to be quiet and listen to God. I think that's a way to meditate. Just be quiet. And if you believe in him and ask for his help, he will talk to you, I think. I don't do that enough, but I think that helps. And another thing, when I go to meetings, different places, and I tell people I'm a Christian and I believe in God, I get a funny reaction sometimes, not always. And I get kind of like a little pushback, I think. And so I like to tell people I'm a Christian. I'm a little hesitant because it kind of makes me a target. Is that the right word? Kind of makes me a target. And I feel I get, I don't know, some negative feedback sometimes, and I just hope that nobody feels I am. I'm not against anybody, but that's just who I am, and I just want to get people that okay. let them know I don't want to.
Okay. Thanks.
You understand?
Thanks.
Uh-huh.
We have more people that need to share. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Anissa, recovered compulsive eater.
Hi, Anissa.
And I just wanted to share, and thank you for the workshop. Good to see you. I just wanted to share on that I'm an 11-step miracle. Many years ago, and Carol probably remembers, we still do in Long Beach, have a meditation meeting, 11-step meeting. And I'll never forget, and I was very new to the program, it was just a little short 5-minute meditation. And it was 5 minutes in the silence, and I swear, I thought it was World War III in my head, and I was going to run up out of there, you know. And, I mean, just couldn't even sit still for 5 minutes, you know, for 5 minutes. And because, you know, the activity in my head was just that crazy, you know. And I know it's deep in the disease, keep myself real busy and thinking and blah, 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 all the time. And I didn't realize until I got quiet how busy my head was. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, from that 5-minute meditation meeting, by the grace of God, I can now go to meditation retreats and sit in the silence for a whole weekend, eating in the silence, being still. I mean, to the point where, you know, I really can't even leave my house without at least 15 and sometimes, especially lately, 30 minutes in the silence, just being still in my body. And in recovery for me, I'm just only speaking for myself, that's important because when I'm binging, I don't want to have nothing to do with my body. You know, I don't even want to look at my body. You know, I don't want to feel nothing. I want, you know, I'm all outer. And that silence. And so I have to really credit program because, you know, I actually do it in many other areas outside of program, and it all started with that little meditation. And I believe the format is online. It should be because that format has been around forever. Just highly recommend if you don't have an 11-step meeting in your area, the program has a format just for it. And I'm an 11-step miracle because of that See How format. And thanks for letting me share.
Thanks. Anybody else?
Hi, I'm Cheryl, recovering compulsive eater.
Hi, Cheryl.
The meditation that I learned from someone in this program goes, be still and know that I am God. And then the second line is, be still and know that I am. Then the third line is, be still and know that I. Then be still and know that. Then be still and know, be still, and then be. And when I get to the be part, it's just, I'm in so connection with my higher power, and my mind is so clear and so still, and I don't have, whatever was going on in my head before is gone, and then I can focus on what my higher power wants the next move for me to be. And it has helped me so many times. It has, especially on my job, when I have supervisors coming at me and they're talking, I can just listen. I have never been able to listen because when they're saying things, especially when they're wrong about something, I want to put my two cents in it right then and there. You know, but I don't do that today. And I find that when I let them talk and whatever, they look at me and I'm not reacting, they're like, there's not too much more they can say. You know, so I'm just so happy about that, that I don't have to respond to people in the negativity, that I can choose positive reactions because I know how to quiet out my mind and clear it and, you know, let things be.
Yep.
So thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Thanks. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Vera, compulsive overeater, sugar addict. Hi. It is so good to be in a meditation workshop because That's what I do every Sunday before I go to church. Mm-hmm. So that when I get to church, if there is something that is shared that I totally disagree with, I am completely fine with it. Because I know someone at that church needs to hear it, and it may not be me.
Mm-hmm.
So the 11th step takes me out of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's ego reduction.
Right.
And I had a prayer partner that used to say that ego was easing God out.
Mm-hmm.
But God was good, orderly direction.
Mm-hmm.
And because I used to anger, and I was not aware of it, very much in denial of my anger, when I started meditating, I realized that it just went away.
Yes.
And on those days where I'm feeling a little of it coming back, because, you know, we don't get rid of everything completely. And depending on what the circumstances are, I know what to do with that anger now.
Mm-hmm.
And I find a quiet place and I sit for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I call it contemplative prayer,
mm-hmm.
but it's meditation.
Right.
And I just sit there, and what I do is I watch all those thoughts, that monkey brain that chatters in your
mm-hmm.
head, I just watch all those thoughts go by.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally close my eyes and I see purple,
mm-hmm.
because purple is higher order and mm-hmm. higher healing,
mm-hmm.
then I know I've gotten to that state.
Right.
So when I encounter other people, I allow the God in me talk to the God in you. And when I do that, I know that's my higher self,
right.
and it is a result of meditation. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to meditate. I'm going to read the 11-step prayer that they come. There is a 11-step prayer. Huh? I got one more. Oh, I did not see. I'm sorry. Yay.
Again, my name is Carol Suzanne, grateful recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Carol.
I start my day as I walk out the door, and I just simply say, Abba, go before me and prepare my way.
Mm.
And however it falls, somehow it falls in the order necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when I started this, but it does make a difference. Just before you go into the 11-step prayer, the meditation, I do that in a meeting years and years ago. I was new and green and said, I want all this for myself. And the old timers came up to me and said, you can't have it till you give it away.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very interesting. But what I have learned to do with my sponsees is to take them through the 11-step prayer
mm-hmm.
and to give the very things that they want others to give them, to learn to give it to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if it is comfort, what is the comfort you need? If it is forgiveness, what do you need to forgive yourself?
Mm-hmm.
What is the pardon? And what I have found is that it centers you
mm-hmm.
to prepare you to be open, to receive, but to give to others. Thank you, good news, Chair.
Great. Thank you. Now, before we do the prayer, I want you to sit for a second, and I'm going to ask you to write one word that you're going to go through the whole next year till the next convention next year in July. With that one word, it's going to be one of your daily words. One word. Then I'm going, this is not a test or anything, but I'm going around the room and I'm going to ask you to come up and tell us your word and why you wrote it. And you can make it real quick. You don't have to do it alone. And here's the pen to sign for those who haven't signed. Okay. Have you gotten your word? Everybody got your word? Okay, we're going to start. Your first one. We're starting right here, first row. Come to the mic and say your word. And she'll be right after you, the next one.
My word is courageous.
Okay, why?
Because a fear has come up in me a lot, and I want to be fearless, and I feel like if I'm fearless, then I can be. I would like to be courageous to face those fears mm-hmm. so that they won't keep me in the same stuck spot.
Okay. Write that word. Now, that word is to be written and put where you can see it daily. All of you, write those words and put them where you can see them daily, all the time. Okay, next. And when you come back to the convention next year, I'm going to be standing out there somewhere, and you're going to say, I'm going to say, now, what's your word?
My word is, I'm Tammy Compulsive Eater.
Hi, Tammy.
Surrender. Just surrender.
Surrender, okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Why, I know, since I've been in program, I was thinking, I know who I am. I'm
okay.
a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a compulsive eater.
Okay.
I know where I'm going. I'm going to continue to serve God
mm-hmm.
and be of service to program.
Okay.
And I know how to get there as I continue to be abstinent. God continues to open door, and I walk through with confidence.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Barbara, compulsive eater.
Hi, Barbara.
My word is acceptance.
Acceptance. Okay.
And, you know, I fight it. And I was talking with my sponsor this morning, and through all of our challenges, it takes me too long to get to acceptance. So I want to have that word in front of me to make it easier.
Okay, keep it in front of you. Excellent.
I'm Lorraine, compulsive eater,
and
mine is surrender. I am losing someone in my life through illness, and some days I'm surrendering, and some days I'm taking control.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just need to remember that it's God's time. It's not his time. It's not my time. So
okay.
That's my...
Keep it in front of you. Put it where you can see it.
Vera, compulsive overeater.
How Vera?
My word is peace.
Peace.
Because when I'm at peace, you're okay.
Okay. Wow. Keep it in front of you. When I see you next year, I'm going to ask you what your word is.
Hi, I'm Dawn. I'm a compulsive eater. And I wrote joy.
Sure.
Because I've lost my joy.
Mm.
I've been immersed. When you asked us to meditate the very beginning, I couldn't think. I was one of those that had all that mental
mm-hmm.
chatter, so I appreciate you giving me some help with meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And the word joy came because I've allowed life to steal it. And I appreciate you sharing about the loss of your sisters. I lost my brother 4 years ago, and my husband keep saying, well, aren't you over that? It was just your brother. You think you lost your husband.
Yeah, no.
And it's like, in death, it's hard to have a joy.
That's right.
And the grief, the grieving,
mm-hmm.
it's like, well, 4 years, and it's my brother. Why is the grief there? And then my dad is dying. He's been in a wheelchair 7 years, and he's got Alzheimer's. And he's like a statue.
Mm.
And so it's hard to find the joy when you look at those really
yeah.
horrible, painful things.
Yeah.
And I thank you for sharing that you just, your prayer was, this hurts.
Yes.
So how do I have joy when this hurts? That's mine.
Thanks. Okay, next.
My name's Kim. I'm from San Diego. And mine is no, because I heard something very powerful last night.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said, I know who I am. I know where I'm going. And I want to say, I now know how to get there.
Great. Keep that word in front of you now.
I'm Karen. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Karen.
And my word is balance.
Balance.
Because I need it. I'm an all or nothing, obsessive compulsive person, and I'd like moderation every once in a while.
Okay. We got 2 minutes left, so we have to make this really quick.
Hi, I'm Olga, compulsive eater.
Hi, Olga.
My word is thanks. When I first came into the program, organized religion wasn't doing it for me anymore, and it was a real stumbling block being in program.
Mm-hmm.
And someone told me to say thanks every morning when I got up, and I did, and I found my higher power.
Thanks. Keep that in front of you. Next, right quick. I'm sorry we had to rush it because we just rushing right through it. Everybody's coming.
Mine is Baruch Hashem,
okay.
Which means thank you, God, and praise God.
Thank you. Keep that in front of you. Okay, next. She's still writing that thing.
Marty, compulsive overeater. My name is, my word is grace.
Oh, wow.
Because no matter where I walk,
mm-hmm.
God's grace is with me.
Great. Keep it in front.
I'm Roberta, compulsive eater. My word is rely because I need to rely on God.
Wow. Thank you. Right here? Oh, okay.
Hi, I'm Maria, compulsive eater.
Hi, Maria.
And my word is hope.
Hope.
Because there is a lot of things going on in my family, in my community,
mm-hmm.
a lot of unemployment, a lot of children going without work,
mm-hmm.
and but I want to hear the words of hope,
right.
And so I do hope, and thank you, Loretta. I haven't seen you for so many years that we've worked together.
I know.
And you're looking good.
You're
thank
looking
you.
Good, too. Thank you. Glad to see you.
Anissa, recovered compulsive eater.
Hi, Anissa.
My word is peace. Mm-hmm. Denial that I was living in a lot of fear, so mm-hmm. I'm going to anchor peace this year.
Oh, great.
Jim, compulsive eater, my word is listen. I need to be still and listen to God. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Okay.
My name is Chardon, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Chardon.
My word this year is faith.
Faith.
Because sometimes I don't trust enough.
Oh, wow. Keep it in front of you. One person left here. Did you want to share?
My name is Carol Suzanne, and the word is harmony. And that word is important to me because I want my life to be balanced and my relationships to be balanced.
Okay.
From top to bottom, higher power down.
Wow, wonderful. We got one more person.
Hi, I'm a compulsive eater. My name is Lori.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, and my word is God. When you said that, your first word that, you know, just write a word down, that was the first thing that came to my mind. And sometimes I just need to be reminded that I'm not running this thing alone. That's it.
Thanks. Keep it. I know you're going to keep that in front of you. Okay. Time to end. Time has just run by so fast, I tell you. So we're going to do the 11-step prayer, and I'm going to read it, and I ask you to just close your eyes, if you will, and meditate on the words. Higher power, as I understand you, I pray to keep my connection with you open and clear from the confusions of daily life. Through my prayers and meditation, I ask especially for freedom from self-will, rationalization, and wishful thinking. I pray for the guidance of correct thought and positive action. Your will, higher power, not mine, be done. Now may the grace of God be continuously with you throughout this conference and throughout your life. Peace. Amen.